Hey, you guys. Here's the movie that won the Patreon poll this week. Going back to Italy. Going back to Giallo.
Yeah.
Actually, this is, I would even call this one a proto-slasher.
It's a good movie. I liked it.
It is. It's a classic.
It kind of makes sense. Now, Giallo's kind of known
It makes more
not,
sense than some of the other ones.
Yeah, Giallo's kind of known for not making a whole lot of sense. It's just more like a damn visual and emotional experience. So it does deliver.
Yeah.
Good color palette. Lots of nudity.
Lots of titties.
Yeah, good looking broads. That was called back in the day, broads. Back in the 70s. 70s fashion. A lot of sexuality. You know, violence.
Which is one of the things I always loved about these movies. I mean, other than like the cool violence and stuff, I always really liked seeing the cool outfits. Because I do feel like Giallo movies in general in the 60s and 70s were kind of almost... It was kind of like a show place for like Milan fashion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody was like super fashionable and like were these kind of highfalutin. They were models or like something like that. And I also like the interiors in a, like where they shoot the shit, like in people's apartments and stuff like that. Mwah. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
And in an Italian Giallo movie, you can't be an ugly girl and be in this movie. They're all like models.
Yeah. Unless you're like an old cleaning lady.
Right.
Or
yeah. But if you're going to be headlining in these movies, you're going to be hot.
And you're going to show your boobies.
Yeah. And then they're going to. They're going to. Okay, look. You have to understand the era. I was growing up in this era. All right. And the American equivalent of these kind of girls in movies tended to be what we call coke whores. They were fucking super, super fucking skinny. There wasn't much damn shape to them. A 70s style with the bell bottoms and the hip huggers and the fucking tube top type shit and tank top, weird tops, you know. It looked decent on that kind of figure.
Well, some of the pants they had back then, you'd have to be skinny because some of the skinny women in this, I still can't figure out how they got those pants on.
Right,
and off.
Cocaine was a thing. I mean, you know, it wasn't even all that illegal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They just got it and they did it, and they got real skinny. Now, Italy wasn't so extreme; they weren't so bad. These women kind of have shape to them.
Yeah, I feel like Italy always appreciated.
Right, they have shape to them, and so what. They're not Russ Meyer type shape, but I'm kind of more in line with what Russ Meyer is like. Really. But yeah, good looking girls, real cool 70s fashion, you know, and like you said, interiors. And decent soundtrack. Not really soundtrack, you call it scores.
Yeah, score. Like a lot of them had, you know, obviously very famously Dario Argento had, you know, a lot of prog rock or, you know, things like that. I feel like a lot of them had like real jazz scores, which may have been picked up from like the German, like crimi films or whatever they called them, which were kind of like based around the same thing because a lot of them had like free jazz type scores and stuff too. So I feel like that's where the influence came from.
Yeah. And you got to remember, you know, story really isn't the strong part in any Italian movie. That's not why you went to see these. And that's not why the audience went to... They went for the emotional and visual experience of it.
Yeah.
It was art.
Yeah.
It was like being on a ride, like a ride at a Disneyland, or in this case, it'd be like a haunted house ride or something. You know what I mean? Where slasher shit was happening, and there was high girls, and then there was dudes, and they all looked guilty. And this movie's right there. Every dude in this looks like a guilty-ass perv. You know, like, he did it.
I know.
He did it. Owen Allen did it.
I feel like that. Well, yeah, that's kind of like par for the course for a lot of Giallo movies because they're trying to set up a lot of red herrings because it's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
So every dude is always like a sketchy creep that you think it's any
fucking
one of them could be the killer because
mustaches.
They're all just so shady.
They all got the fucking mustaches and the fucking sideburns and shit and fucking the fucked up hair and
they're all like 70, leering and like
glasses
beating
sunglasses.
Up prostitutes and
yeah
whatnot,
they're always smacking
which they
a bitch.
Do in this one too they're always smacking a bitch
to be in an Italian movie as a man you must smack a bitch
which is why when we did the review on the editor that you know modern day like Giallo you know parody kind of that's what I thought was so funny about, like, all the dudes just, like, beating the shit
in the middle of, like, just the middle of the sentence,
just pow!
How dare you?
Because I'm like, that's about right.
And, you know, today that shit wouldn't fly. They go, oh, that's misogynistic, you know.
Well, it is, but...
It is, but the thing is that did not happen in real life. That didn't happen in real life. If dudes acted like that, other dudes would whip their asses, they get arrested. But they put the shit in the movie like it was cool. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you don't take any back talk. Yeah, yeah. We didn't brook any back talk from our
Phillies. I think a lot of it, what it was, is it's always, the dude that's doing is always, he's always kind of like portrayed as emotional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, there's got to be certain limits. If a woman's talking crazy to you and you don't do anything back, does that mean what she says doesn't matter? You know what I mean? Right. These motherfuckers are emotional. Oh, you say something. You hurt my feelings. I love you too much. So I slap you. That was the kind of, it's like bullfighting. That's what they're talking about.
It's kind
of
like that.
That's what they're talking about. I love you so much, I must beat you. That's what they're talking about.
I do feel like that's kind of where they were coming from.
That's what they were coming from.
But there is some of that in this movie.
Because if you're like, you know, a woman cheats on you and you don't do anything, it's like, oh, well, fuck her. I don't care.
Yeah.
You're like, so then you don't love her.
Right.
So, you know, I love you, so I must punish you.
Yeah. I can see where that that's what they were doing. But yeah, like I said.
And you were supposed to be impressed what a great lover he was. He loved that woman so much he slapped her. But it was just the thinking of the time and it looked good on film. I don't think they really did it.
Because I think James Bond pulled some of that shit too, like back when Sean Connery was playing him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they really did it in real life though. I don't think that was...
I'm sure some people did, but...
But that was an asshole.
Yeah.
I think women would leave you.
Well,
unless
she
was an Italian woman, she might go, I love you even more.
Pow! And then she would smack him back.
Smack you. Yeah. Might have been.
Then she would just punch him in the face.
It's kind of Latin shit, you know?
It is. It is heightened emotions.
Yeah.
But yeah,
growing up in Brazil, I'm thinking back, yeah.
They'll just be slapping each other in the middle of the street.
Well, it's mostly the dude just sitting there and her slapping him. That's usually what I saw. You know, you cheated on me. Yes, I did. I'm guilty.
Well, then he deserved it.
He'd do it again. He'd do it again. I love you, but I love her too. That
kind of shit. I can love two people. I have so much love to give.
He'd try to rationalize it. It wasn't love, baby. I paid for it. You know? It was just a professional relationship.
Yeah, like I said, the dude that gets real slappy with a woman in this one, she is a prostitute.
Yeah,
in this one, he just starts smacking her around.
Well, because she said, because you can't get it up.
Yeah, because he couldn't get it up. So his little ego.
She said, "You're gay. You can't get it up."
He started kind of strangling her too.
Well, yeah, you know, and kind of like in the mind of a 70s Italian movie star, man, to not retaliate would mean that yes, you are gay.
Yeah, they're like, I have to do something because you have offended my honor. You have offended my honor.
Yeah.
Miss.
Yeah, if I don't slap you, the audience will think I'm gay.
So did we even mention this movie is Torso? Yeah. All right, so this came out in 1973. And like I said, this is really interesting because we've talked about this before, how the giallo genre... I feel like American slasher movies really do owe a lot to that. Yes, you had the kind of psychological horror films. You had Peeping Tom, you had Psycho, you had those. And, you know, there's been movies like this, like, sprinkled throughout, you know, film history. But I feel like a lot of the slasher tropes come almost directly from giallo movies. And this one in particular, as I said, now this came out in 1973. So I think a lot of people will point to maybe like Black Christmas as like one of the first slashers, but that came out like a year after this. I would argue that probably the first slasher that you would recognize as a slasher is probably Bay of Blood, aka Twitch of the Death Nerve, which came out in 1971, which was the first one that had like a whole bunch of people at a lake, and there was somebody picking them off one by one, and there was like a lot of killer POV shots and shit like that. Friday the 13th very notoriously like ripped it off, a couple of scenes like almost directly from that movie. But this movie too, very, very recognizably a slasher. I think I would call this more a slasher than a giallo, even though it does have the obligatory black gloved killer, like, and with the white mask who's like stalking people and it's a murder mystery. Everybody's a red herring. You know, it could be anybody. And you find out that the reason that the killer is doing it is from some like psychosexual drama that he went, like trauma that he went through, like as a child, which is very, very, very common. So yeah, I have to say, even though this is called Torso in the US, I've also seen it called Carnal Knowledge. However, the Italian title, which is much better, is The Bodies Bear Traces of Carnal Knowledge, which is one of the most giallo titles.
Yeah, that's Italian as shit.
And that is Italian as shit. But I really, really like that title. And the thing about it is that, I guess the title Torso is like, you know, it's brief, it kind of like gives you, and it had like the thing with the saw like on the cover and everything, so you kind of knew what you were getting into. When this was released in the US, fun fact, it was actually usually a double bill with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which came out a year later than this. So yeah, basically this is directed by Sergio Martino. Now, he did a shit ton of giallo movies. I haven't seen all of them because his filmography is huge. But I have seen a bunch of them, and Shudder just added a bunch of them, too. They just added The Whip in the Body, which was one of his earlier films, Strange Vice of Mrs. Ward, which is very good, also Curse of the Scorpion's Tail, which I like, All the Colors of the Dark, which might be... I know this is, like, maybe a controversial opinion of people that like giallo movies, but I think I might like All the Colors of the Dark a little bit better than Torso, just because it was, like, had a weird psychedelic kind of tinge to it that this one doesn't really have. But, you know, that's completely negligible. Like I said, he made, like, a whole bunch of other ones. So basically what happens in Torso is that there's all these students at, I guess it's, like, some kind of university or something, and they're all studying art history. And so they start getting, like, right at the beginning, there's a couple having sex in the car. Well, honestly, like, the first, I think the very first shot of this movie is tits. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's tits, and there's, like, a threesome going on. You know what I mean? So, like, as soon as you're like, oh, okay, here we go. And there's a lot of tits.
They're reminding
movie.
You where this movie came from, right?
Yeah.
This is what you paid for.
There you go.
You don't even have to wait. You don't have to wait, yeah.
Before the title even comes on the screen, yeah. There are boobs.
Well, most of the people in the audience at the time, probably young Italian guys. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. They only paid a nickel to see the shit back in the 70s.
No, somebody said that in one of the YouTube comments when we were talking about how cheap the movies were back then, they said back in the 70s, movie was
$3. $3,
it was $3. All right. Like, about that. So, not, I mean, even in the U.S., I don't think it was a nickel, so like back in the 40s, maybe.
I heard that it was, like, much cheaper. I saw a documentary, they were talking about what the prices. Although... they were actually talking about spaghetti westerns.
Yeah.
And a lot of the spaghetti westerns sucked from it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not talking about Sergio Leone, you know what I mean, all of them. Or actually, who is it? Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Sergio Leone. Most of the guys making them were fucking hacks. And they said that a movie was like 15 cents a quarter.
Huh.
For those. Maybe it was the price depending on what kind of movie it was.
Yeah, maybe like, well, this movie's gonna suck, so we're just gonna charge you. Like, we're only gonna charge you a quarter.
That's what the documentary said. You know? I wasn't living in Italy at the time.
That would be super funny if that. It would be nice if like they would charge you, you know, in relation to the quality of the movie.
Well,
that would be kind of cool.
Probably the quality of the theater too.
Well, you would think that if you were going to like, well, I mean,
probably
the same
a bunch of cheap theaters.
Yeah, the same thing would apply here. Well, just like here, we used to have back in the day, like the dollar theater, and that was like where all the second run shit would play, and like after the shit had already been out.
And it was
real
basic in there.
Yeah, it did. You know, you didn't have.
Yeah, none of that could survive today. I don't think.
I mean, I saw a lot of movies in the dollar theater at Daytona.
Yeah.
Because you know we couldn't really afford the movies are kind of expensive, and you couldn't really afford like the fancy shit. And like we're like, well, I don't really need to see that all that badly. I can wait like a month to see.
We had one here. It closed.
Yeah.
There was one in Michigan that my buddy Mike used to work at. It was called Showboat, Trenton, Michigan.
Oh yeah.
And it's gone. Yeah.
Was that a chain?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think so. Just called Showboat.
Showboat.
It was dollar
you
theaters.
Showboating.
Well, the good thing about Showboat is that they would rerun movies. Like,
yeah.
Shit that you missed. Like you could see, you know, Back to the Future 1. Like 3 years later.
Because back in the old days, it was really hard to like watch it at home.
Yeah.
Even if, you know.
Well, you couldn't see it in HD.
True.
Your VHS copy of it wasn't going to be that good.
Yeah.
You know, so for a dollar, you could go back and see, you know, because they'd get old movies.
Yeah.
Good ones that were old, and they'd play those. So I guess they were privately owned.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, maybe
they'd play
were.
Fucking Night of the Living Dead shit, too.
Well, yeah, that's because that's fucking free, so they might as well.
Making money.
But yeah, so you have all these students at this art history college. And like I said, everything, I mean, it's Italy and it's like right in the middle. I think it was shot in Perugia, mm-hmm. I guess is how you pronounce that. I'm not really sure. And so it's just like this, the cathedrals and like the fucking Michelangelo looking ceilings on the shit. It's like, it's fantastic. So that's where they're having their classes and whatnot. So it ends up that one of the students, Flo, is having sex with her boyfriend out in the car, like out in the middle of nowhere by these ruins or whatever. And they both get murdered by this, you know, masked and gloved killer. So at this stage, everyone's kind of freaking out. And then there's, much like in many other giallo movies, there's always like one detail. Not always, but there's like usually a detail that one of the people has seen, but they can't really remember it. And that's kind of like the key to the whole mystery. So, you know, it was done in Bird with a Crystal Plumage. It was done in a bunch of other ones. So in this one, basically, it's like one of the victims gets strangled with this particular scarf that's like red and black. And the cops come to the class and they're just basically like, okay, well, if you've seen anybody wearing this, let us know, because this is what the victim was strangled with. So we're assuming that the killer was wearing it. So then one of the students, she remembers, I saw somebody wearing that, but I can't remember who it is. So that was kind of like a thing where, you know, just through the movie, she's trying to remember like who it was that she saw wearing this particular thing. I will point out that this movie also has kind of the final girl trope as well, like pretty blatantly. The girl's name is Dani. Now in the movie, interestingly, the version that they have on Shudder, because usually when you see a lot of giallo movies and you see these Italian horror movies, they're usually dubbed into English, at least the versions that we get over here. This one, interestingly, is in Italian, but a lot of the actors in it, like Susie Kendall, who plays, you know, the final girl, she's actually British, and you can tell if you're looking at her mouth, she's speaking English. And a bunch of the other actors look like they're speaking English, too. But the version that's on Shudder is, like, actually, so they dubbed it over into Italian. That's the version that's on there. I guess there's another version that has an English dub, and I think there's one that's, you know, part English, part Italian. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of different versions of this.
The Italians knew how to make money. They just shot a movie. Then they dubbed that movie into about 9 different languages. So it didn't matter what language the actor was speaking. They were dubbed in every language.
Yeah, that's what they did. Well, I guess they just figured it was easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just like, everybody just say your lines in whatever language you speak. We'll just dub it all into the same.
9 different versions of that shit that they sent out to the web. Probably had a Japanese version.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
And too, they had to make different cuts of it because, you know, in different countries, you can't have like super gory shit and, you know, tits and everything like that. So you have to like recut it for different markets. So that's why, I think that's part of the reason why there's so many.
Yeah, if you try to sell it just to Italy, you're fucked. That's not a big enough market.
Yeah, and I feel like this one did really well, like, kind of on the grindhouse circuit. Like I said, it was usually, like, a double bill with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So people were actually, like, aware of it at the time. And like I said, I think it was, like, a really, really influential on later slasher movies. Because, like I said, it's got the final girl thing. It's got, like, the killer POV. It's got people being killed with, you know, bladed weapons, being stabbed and strangled and whatnot. So it's got all that shit going on. I should point out, too, that Susie Kendall, who plays Dani, you know, she plays an American in the movie, even though everyone's speaking Italian, but she's actually British, and she was also in Dario Argento's Bird with the Crystal Plumage, because I was watching it, and I was like, God damn it, I've seen that woman before somewhere, and that's where I had seen her.
It's funny, as a kid, having HBO and Cinemax, they'd show us these Italian movies all the time. A lot of them were giallo movies that we were watching. We'd see the English dub, and I was looking at them, it's funny, because I could tell some of it was English dialogue.
Yeah.
But then other people were dubbed into English. Why? What the hell? I never did figure out what the fuck that was as a kid. It wasn't until much later did I even know these were Italian movies, or that Italian movies existed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't really pay close attention to it.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't know, I'm just watching the shit. Boobs and people are getting cut up. Yeah, that's all, like, I need to know.
Kind of weird how that dude's mouth didn't line up.
Well, I did notice
it. Kind of weird how the story didn't really make sense. Who wrote that shit? I wonder why it was like that.
What were they on?
Yeah. I wonder why it was like that. You know? Looks different than the other movies. You know, but I didn't put two and two together. I was just a kid, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, you don't really, like, understand the intricacies of dubbing, like, when you're a little kid.
Actually, I probably didn't realize until I was maybe about 13 or 14 that there was such a thing as an Italian movie.
You know what I mean? I didn't even know there was such a country as Italy. Yeah, I thought it was a made-up
place. Well, you know,
you
got to remember what it was like back then. Remember how is that those four networks had every bit of television space locked up. And then fucking when cable came, new channels appeared. But they were all American. You know what I mean? It seemed to be that American programming just dominated everything. They were going to put foreign stuff on there. Cinemax and HBO, the movie channels were different, though. They put a foreign movie on there. And it took me a while to fucking realize that it was foreign.
You saw it, too, on, like, a lot of smaller local stations that didn't have a lot of
viewership.
Content.
Yeah.
That didn't have a lot of content. So they would just, like, get these... They would buy, like, these packages of cheap-ass movies.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were foreign and stuff as well, but were dubbed into. Because there was, like, a lot of... like Japanese monster movies and stuff like that had these really terrible like English dubs and English cuts.
I knew there were Japanese foreign movies. That was obvious.
Yeah.
You could just tell, you know, because I mean, they were Japanese people. But I didn't realize that, you know, Italy made movies.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't.
They have a huge film industry.
You're like, what? That movie was kind of different than the other ones.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
I had a hard time coming to grips with British movies. When I was a kid,
that's really funny.
I'd see a British movie and I'm like, where the hell is that? You know, those people talk funny. What the fuck is that?
People talk funny.
And then you're like, well, that's England. And I was like, okay, well, where is that in the United States? You know? It must be near New England somewhere. The state of New England. I think you just think that was a state. You know?
Aw.
Well, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, the United States was a big place. You couldn't drive across it, the cars wouldn't make it.
Yeah.
It's unreliable.
Well, it's like more than 3,000 miles.
Yeah,
like from one
each state was like a different country.
Pretty much.
I didn't know the names of them all. Or damn 50 of them. Fuck them.
You didn't know that song?
What's that? No.
That 50 nifty United States song? That's how I still remember all the names in alphabetical order, because of that fucking song that they
taught us in
music class.
No, it took me a while to realize that fucking England was not in the United States. I didn't realize that. I don't think I realized that until I was maybe 7th grade. By the 8th grade, I realized I knew that that was another country, of course.
Yeah.
That was across
the
ocean.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. I think.
My England
I'm trying to remember what I knew back then.
Yeah.
But I used to watch British movies. Like, I saw Day of the Triffids.
Right. And that was a good one.
That fucking tripped me out.
That's
and I couldn't figure out where that was happening. You know?
Why is
funny cars and fucking, you know.
Why are the cars so
bad? Thought it was just.
Their license plates are all weird.
Thought it was around here somewhere.
You thought it was some town you'd never heard of.
Yeah. That must have been about 7, 8.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I was still living in California. So about 7 or 8. I was like, man, that's a fucking weird place.
Yeah, so you might very well have seen this movie and not even been aware of.
Yeah, maybe.
Although I feel like this is something that, I mean, this is not for children. This one is not real, it's not super gory. I don't even think it's as gory or violent as Bay of Blood was.
I don't remember any slashers until I was about 12 or 13. That's about the time where like HBO and Cinemax were it was in the house.
Yeah.
That's when you saw that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think I was probably 10 or 11 when we first got the pay channels.
Like that.
But I don't remember seeing any giallo movies until later. If I did, I didn't remember them or it didn't like really register, because I did watch a lot of horror movies. But so basically what happens is that this one girl, you know, she's convinced that she's seen this scarf on somebody. So they definitely try to like red herring you, because there's this one, the prostitute slapping guy who is also stalking her, you know, and he won't leave her alone. He's one of those kind of like, you know, we have to be together. And she's like, would you please go away? I don't like you. And like, he just like keeps persisting, like he won't leave. So they're really setting it up that he's the killer, or maybe it's like the creepy guy, like in the palazzo that is like selling the scarves to the people. Maybe it's this guy. Maybe it's that. Later on, there's a doctor. It's like, maybe it's that guy and shit like that. So I do feel like one thing that, that it kind of does when they make a giallo and every man in it is just like a sketchy creep is that you know that the killer's got to be the one that's the least sketchy creep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that is definitely the case in this one, because as soon as they introduce all the male characters and there's one that's like kind of normal, you're like, that's the killer right there. And I was right.
Yep.
And I don't think I'd ever seen this. But yeah, so basically what happens, she's getting stalked. there's a murderer running around who is, like, brutally butchered, like, two people who are having sex in a car. So what ends up happening is the one girl, she has an uncle, and there's a scene in there. I didn't realize it was her uncle until later on, like, when she called him uncle, whatever his name was. I thought that that was her husband, and he was just, like, way older, because they were acting like... not like an uncle and niece.
Not probably not real unusual for the 70s.
Maybe not. Like, she's all hugging on him, and he's, like in the room, and she's really just in a towel and shit
we're
like
not
that.
Really, we're so not weird. Really related, you know what I mean?
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's like old enough to be her grandpa, probably. Like, you know what I mean? Because she seemed like she was maybe 20, and he seemed like he was maybe 50, 60.
70s was an experimental era.
It was.
I mean, there's a fucking interracial lesbian relationship going on in this.
Which, that was okay. Just going to point that out, because two of the women, what ends up happening is the girls end up going to this uncle's, like, villa, like,
they're
in this
all,
other village to hide. And, and there's definitely a scene where...
Oh, yeah, they're all into it.
It's, like, interracial... a lesbian love scene. It's pretty graphic for the time.
They hide it.
Yeah, it was like behind a bedpost or something like that. But it's like they show them making out. They show both their tits. They show.
Yeah, the movie's showing you that fucking these are modern people with modern relationships. They're not tied up in that old bullshit. If the niece and the uncle want to get it on, that's going to happen. If these two chicks from the white one and the black one want to get it on, it's going to happen. So that's what they're telling you.
Yeah. It's all good.
This is some progressive shit.
Although the uncle thing, well, they didn't make out or anything. I just thought it was a little weird, like, they were super huggy. And then, like, I was like, I wouldn't want to, like, get out of the shower and be in my bedroom with a towel on and then have my uncle come in and be, like, hugging me and I'm just
exactly
wearing a towel. That's really weird.
Exactly what
and he's, like, three times my age.
It's exactly what they're talking about,
that's
though.
Super creepy.
Don't be naive. That's exactly what they're talking about. Because from this same era, I remember... there were movies where obviously the fucking 12-year-old girl and the 40-year-old dude are fucking getting it on.
It does seem like that.
And
yeah.
It's like they're showing you that, or they're trying to tell you that shit was normal. So that's
some Lolita shit.
Some Lolita shit. That, you know, it's just progressive stuff. Just we're all be free, man. Be free. That's what they were doing.
Well, I'm kind of...
it was the hippie era.
I'm kind of like, be free,
free
but, with it, but within limits. I mean, there is a limit.
No, not then.
That's
not what they were doing back in the 70s.
I know. I know.
That's why they're trying to get Roman Polanski back.
Yeah, I guess
and telling you, man, these old fucks that are running around today, these boomers, were doing that shit.
Oh, I'm sure
they were.
They
were doing that shit.
I'm
fucking
sure
right they were. Smoking pot and shit.
And then they get older and tell everybody else
they
can't
do that.
But
when I was a kid, we used to go to fucking Yosemite National Forest, and the fucking, my aunts and everything, and they were teenagers, early 20s, they'd be sitting around the campfire, and the damn park rangers would show up with a fucking guitar and start singing fucking John Denver songs and passing out weed to the girls. You go down to the fucking, to the lake, and it was people of all ages, kids, teenagers, and adults down there fucking totally nude sunbathing and stuff in Sequoia National Park. It was just normal.
There's a lot of nude sunbathing in this movie, too.
Yeah. I mean, today, that would be like, oh my God, around all these children, that would be only like a nude beach. But in California in the 70s, they just, no.
Everybody naked.
Yeah, I was fucking going down there as a little kid, fucking come around the corner, and fucking like 15-year-old girls come around the corner that were older than me, just fucking totally nude and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa! Then you got used to it real quick.
Well, yeah. After a while, it doesn't.
20 minutes later,
I
just like
whatever. Naked
chicks
everywhere.
Right? Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, that's what's kind of funny.
That was the time.
There was a scene of this too, because like I said, so all the girls go to this kind of isolated villa because they're supposed to be like hiding, or that's where they're going to be safe or whatever. However, it ends up that the killer actually ends up following them there. Now, interestingly, I think. There's two scenes in particular that I really, really liked in this one. One of them was when one of the students gets murdered. She goes to this like hippie party where, you know, somebody's playing a guitar and like dancing around like naked in the middle of the room. And like all these other people, these ones are having sex over here. These ones are smoking pot. There's like all kind of shit going on. You know what I do? You know what I mean? And so she goes to that, like two guys are trying to like make out with her and she's just kind of like, ah, fuck this. And she leaves. And then inexplicably, she's walking through like fucking a swamp. I don't really know why, but I'm not going to complain about it too much because it looks really cool. Like, the way that it's shot, she's just, like, walking through this fucking swamp, and then, like, far away there's, like, the shadow of, like, the killer, and then he comes and gets her, and she's, like, all muddy, and her tits are all muddy and whatnot. So that was really good. That was a really good scene. And I think probably the best part of this movie is, like, the third act, because after the girls all get to the villa and the killer gets there, he ends up killing the one stalker guy that you thought was the killer, like one of the red herring dudes, ends up killing that guy, and ends up killing three of the women. Like, you don't see it. It kind of happens off screen. But what ends up happening is the main character, whose name is Jane, and she's played by Susie Kendall, as I mentioned earlier, she ends up, she like falls down the stairs, and I don't think she breaks her ankle, but she sprains it, like she can't really walk on it. So she's like, oh man, I thought this was supposed to be like a good vacation, and now my ankle's all fucked up and I ruined it. But the fact that that happened to her, and she was up in the bedroom, and she was kind of drugged out because the doctor came over and gave her some painkillers, she wasn't downstairs when all the other girls got murdered. So she's like the last one. So there's this really great sequence, probably like the last 20 minutes of the movie, where the killer is down there like cutting up, you know, the other bodies of the girls and like carting them away for whatever nefarious purpose. And he doesn't know that she's up there at first. So she's kind of like trying to, you know, she's hobbling around and she's kind of trying to make it look like there's nobody in the room. And she's kind of like trying to clean up like all, you know, trace that somebody else is in there and all this other kind of shit. And then finally he like twigs onto the fact that she's in there and he locks her in, and then she tries to get the key, and then he figures out where she's at. And so it's like a really good, like, suspenseful 20 minutes. And I don't think there's any dialogue or anything like that. So I think that's probably like the best part of the movie for me. Like I said, I'm not entirely sure why it's called Torso, other than just because there's so many tits in it.
It doesn't make any
because difference. I mean, just because, you know, it's a torso. But I figure, well, because what ends up happening
talking about the plot of a giallo movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This does have a plot. It makes sense.
It does. It kind of makes sense. It's just that it's Italian.
Yeah.
The plot is not the fucking essence of the story. They weren't focused on that.
Well, clearly.
They weren't focused
like
on
I
that.
Said, they were like hot ladies, yeah. Boobs,
and
blood.
Slasher scenes, and colorful, and with music and fashion.
Yeah.
It was something called Spumoni. You ever heard of Spumoni?
I remember you talking about that. Like,
back
I can't,
in the 70s.
Like, what movie were we talking about?
I don't remember.
That
Italians have an ice cream that is like their version of Neapolitan. It's got chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and fucking pistachio, all right? And then they put a bunch of swirls in it, like strawberry swirls and cherry swirls with whole cherries in there and nuts and fucking fudge. And it's every fucking ice cream you can imagine and every fucking topping mixed in together, and they call it shit Spumoni. It's overpowering. It has its own flavor, but it doesn't taste like any of those ice creams. That's kind of the way their movies were. Everything that they did back in the 70s, we would call that shit Spumoni. It's just, they just put everything together.
I think you were talking about that when we were talking about House by the Cemetery. Because
yeah.
I think that was the last Italian movie that we reviewed.
Yeah, if you like this movie, that's in it. If you like that movie, it's in it. If you like this movie, it's in there. If you like that movie, it's in there. If you like this, it's in. It's just everything is fucking in the goddamn movie.
Although I feel like this one is a lot more coherent.
It's a little more controlled.
Because you see movies like, you know, Dario Argento's movies and Lucio Fulci's movies, they tend to be a lot more dreamlike and, you know, have a lot less logic. Whereas this one is more like a straightforward slasher, straightforward crime thriller.
It does.
So it does have like some weird shit in it, but not that much weird shit. You know what I mean? It's not like... It doesn't have any scenes in it where you're like, what the fuck did I just watch, or what the fuck does that mean? It doesn't have anything like that. It's pretty straightforward. Like,
yeah, but when you do get down to it, it's a very simple story. It doesn't really matter.
It is. That's what I mean.
Right.
So, as I was mentioning earlier, because every dude in this is just like this creepy, gross, like fucking lech or whatever. So you have to assume that the nicest person or the most normal dude in it is the killer. And that is indeed the case. Spoiler alert, the killer in this one is actually the university professor, Franz.
Yeah.
And the reason that he has for killing people, which is a very giallo motive, was that when he was a kid, he had a twin brother. And the twin brother... was he wanted to look at this little, they were hanging out with this little girl, and he wanted to look at the little girl's panties. And the little girl was like, okay, well, you can look at my panties, but you have to go get my doll, which is right there at the edge of this very precarious cliff. So then the twin goes to get the doll and, not surprisingly, falls over the cliff, like, to his death in a very hilarious, like, hey, child, going over the cliff kind of scene. I don't know. It was just really funny to me. And so ever since then, Franz has blamed all women for his brother's death. And he like, he thinks of all women as, like, dolls. And also there was, I liked, too, that just the first scene of it, which is the threesome with all the titties and stuff, because I said even before the fucking titles come on, it's like, hey, tits and a threesome. That actually does tie back to his motive for starting the murders, because I guess that he got sucked into this threesome with two of the women who got killed, and then they tried to blackmail him, because I guess he's a teacher. So he killed them, and then he figured, well, I already killed two people, so might as well just keep on going, because then it'll cover up, you know, my involvement, you know what I mean? Because it'll just seem like a random serial killer, like, and not me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why he started doing it. But he did, actually have a motivation. So I do like, at the end, he has this really, like, overwrought, like Scooby-Doo explanation of, like, why he did the shit. But like I said, it's very, very giallo. Like, it always has something to do with something that happened in your childhood, and it was usually some kind of sexual trauma, or your brother died.
They're getting all Freudian.
And that, yeah, it is. It's very, very Freudian, so it's, like, a very common trope. So it happens in this one, too. But like I said, if you're into Italian cinema, if you're into slasher movies and are interested to see, you know, where some of the roots of the slasher movie came from, and, you know, if you're interested to see a movie that is very recognizably a slasher, even before Black Christmas, because this came out about a year before that, then definitely check out Torso, although, like I said, I like the Italian title better, because I love those operatic, like, giallo titles. I just really love those. So Torso is kind of like, eh, okay, that's, I can see what you're doing. But yeah, so definitely check it out. It's on Shudder at the moment. It's probably on some other places as well. I don't really know if the English dub is any good, so, because I saw the Italian version. So if you want to watch the English dub, then by all means, go and find that. But I'm pretty sure the one on Shudder is only in Italian. I didn't see if you could change the audio track on it. But yeah, so that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you on the next one. Arrivederci.